Please sit down. Buy water so in case I don't. I get too excited during Lent. It's true. This morning I had a prop. I had a chocolate bar with me to talk about what I gave up, but I ate it. Do I go and buy another one? No, I ate it. It's done. So picture it. Nova Scotia, 1973. My mother, God bless her, decided that it was time to take me to catechism. You know, grade two, when you're 7 years old, the Roman Catholic Church believes that you have reached the age of reason. 7 years old. I don't know if you've tried to reason with a seven-year-old before. So dutifully we went, and I had what could only be described as, well, I named her Sister Mary Nasty. Oh, the meanest nun I ever met in my life. And so I was enrolled in my first communion and first reconciliation, and she was scary. And if you didn't do exactly what she, if you didn't have your act of contrition memorized, oh Lord, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee. No, I think it's heartily, but anyway, heartily sorry. So it was terror. I was terrorized by this whole idea, and God was clearly very angry all the time. But that's what we know in the Catholic Church in the early days after the Vatican Council, there was that hangover of sin. You weren't worthy to do anything, and you had your sins subdivided, your venial sins and your mortal sins. So if you thought about eating a hot dog on Good Friday, that was a venial sin. If you ate the hot dog on Good Friday, that was a mortal sin. So I managed my way through this, and I made my first reconciliation, and I was in the little box, and Father McNamara, who had the loudest voice in the universe, was going to tell everybody in the church what I had done, and I had my shopping list. So fast forward, I started going to church by myself when I was 13, when we moved up north, and again, my understanding of Lent was frightening. I thought, well, you just have to give up something that you really like. So I tried that for a while. But I was like the hypocrites. My face was contorted all the time. Everybody knew that I gave up chocolate. Everybody knew. 1986, I'm now playing the organ four times a weekend in church. And I not only gave up chocolate and sweets for Lent, and everybody knew. And then Easter Sunday in 1986, I went to brunch after church. Between church, I had to go back at 5, and I ate every piece of sweets I could possibly get my hands on. I ate pie and cake and chocolate and everything. And then at 5 o'clock that afternoon, God punished me with a vengeance. I didn't even make it off the organ bench. It was not pretty. So I move along in my life, and I ask myself, and the church didn't like this. They didn't like it when you ask questions about reason. Because you were told, this is what you did, and this is, you know, this is the church, because God wanted it that way. That's what we did. So I thought, okay, I'll just keep giving up my stuff. But no, there's something wrong with that. Because at the end of it, what did I do? I go back and eat chocolate and eat sweets. And so what was the point? Was I pleasing God? Was I pleasing the church? Who was I doing this for? And so I started working with adults who were coming to faith, and there is nothing more exciting than an adult who decides they're going to go to church. For whatever, they're drawn to the doors of a place because they don't accept it's done that way. They want to know why. What's the reason? Now, I'm not going to say that Lent is not about accepting and acknowledging sin and that you have to work on that right relationship with God, but there's more to it than that. Lent is not a time of, oh, I'm just such a bad, bad person. It's not what that message should be. It's renewal. Renewal is a lot different than just sort of lamenting and giving up and saying, oh, well, you know, sinners, hey, hello. probably, you know, 5-10 times a day before I have my lunch, I've sinned. But it's not that kind of obsession with my unworthiness. And I'm afraid the church, not just this church, but all churches, have, I would say, dwelled on the unworthiness. And we kind of built the places to make that point. If we look around, it's not here anymore, but in the days when you put the rail, God was up there, and he was mad. Oh, he's so angry with us, because we just do everything wrong. But and don't you dare cross that line, because if you do, that's a sin. It's wrong. And I'm afraid that's pretty much the way I was brought up in the church. I mean, that's all I knew. All I knew was that I was unworthy and that I had to do all these actions all the time to make God happy. I'm not too sure that God was really that worried about whether or not I talked back to my mother. My mother was, but I'm not sure God was. So we got obsessed, and we obsessed with unworthiness, and we got obsessed with sin, and we forgot to renew. Renewal was sort of left in the back. We'll wait till Easter Sunday. No, this is the period of renewal. This is the time that we start working on what makes us uncomfortable, on doing something that's outside the box. Now, believe it or not, for me, doing this is outside the box. But it's something that you have to do. Like, you have to be who you are. And then you have to go out there and into the world and show that a faithful Christian, someone who believes in renewal, is here to make the world a better place. I'm not here to judge. None of us are here to judge other people. None of us are here to lament our sins all the time. If that's all we're doing, we're not going to move forward. So I think that Lent, and certainly for me, Lent, has always been a joyful season. As a matter of fact, the preface in the one of the prefaces in the Eucharistic prayer for Lent in the Catholic Church says, during this joyful season of Lent, I thought, boy, I don't think there's a single Catholic in the world who ever saw that line for what it was. It was about stripping down, and everything was off. Oh, it's bad. You're bad. You're bad. Catholic guilt, if nobody believes in it, trust me, it's alive and well in me. It will never go away. It's something that's, Sister Mary Nasty beat into my head in grade two. But it's not necessary to carry that around. It's time. Lent is always the time. And it doesn't mean, this year will be renewed and we don't have to do it again. We always have to be renewed. Renewal comes over and over and over again. I was out for coffee with a friend of mine last week, and we were talking about our bodies at 53, because he and I are the same age. And I thought, God, you have a sense of humor. I need to renew. I need to renew all the time. Physically, I need to renew. Mentally, I need to renew. It's a process that never ends. But the reward on the other side is that the light that you show to everybody else from that renewal, it's what draws people. It's what shows what a true, loving, open, honest Christian looks like. And believe me, sometimes that can be hard to find. So I would say for anybody here tonight, if you're thinking about what you're going to do for Lent, don't give up something. And then, if you want to give up a bad habit like smoking, I'm not looking at anybody in particular. Then I encourage that strongly. But if you're just going to give up sweets for 6 weeks and then go on a binge like I did in 1986 and then throw up on the organ, I would not suggest that. I would not recommend that to anybody. Renew. Think about what makes you uncomfortable. Is there something that you've been thinking you should do? Is it working with, is it saying hello to someone on the street? There's lots of things that we can do to renew. And then when Easter arrives, have one piece of cake. Thanks be to God.